Good morning. My name is Rick Lesser. I'm a local attorney, as well as a political gadfly. I'm glad to be on the Lake Forest podcast this morning with Pete, Scoo, and Joe.
Welcome to the Lake Forest podcast, a podcast about the lovely city of Lake Forest, featuring topics like local news, sports, music, people, food, and debates. My name is Pete, and I'm joined with the voice of Lake Forest High School basketball, football, lacrosse, chess team,
The Lake Forest Podcast is supported by viewers, listeners, and businesses just like you.
Looking for the best pool supplies? Look no further than Doheny's. With a history dating back to 1967, this family-owned business offers everything families need to keep their pools clean and sparkling, from chemicals to equipment. Plus, customers enjoy free shipping on all orders. Visit Doheny's Pool Supplies today at doheny.com, D-O-H-E-N-Y.com, to learn more.
Forest Bluff Real Estate Group serves Illinois, Wisconsin, in Lake Forest and Lake Bluff. John Josephitis, Laura Lee Van Fleet, and Michelle Parnell get a free market analysis now at ForestBluffRealEstate.com. For the best cannabis in the world, look no further than Iliad Epic Grow, their cannabis cultivation center owned by Lake Bluff's own Rich Ruzich. They focus on hard-to-find small batch products that will delight both the occasional user and ganjier. When visiting Michigan, ask for it by name, Epic Products, Exceptional Process, Iliad Epic Grow. For more information, email info at iliadgrow.com. Havy Communications has been helping first responders arrive safely since 1983. It's owned by Lake Forest's own Mike Havy. Check them out at havycommunications.com.
Paul Hammond, candidate for Lake Forest Mayor, April 4th, 2023. He's a lifetime resident of Lake Forest, licensed professional engineer in Illinois, registered energy professional in Chicago, Purdue Electrical Engineering graduate, BSEE 1979, commodity trader for over 40 years. He's running on the issues of stopping the plastic grass in Lake Forest parks, because every 10 years the plastic field needs to be replaced because of deterioration and wear. Email paul.hammond.pe@gmail.com.
We'd also like to say that we're thankful for patron supporters, Reverend Luke Beck from the Church of the Holy Spirit,
Matt A., Elizabeth C., Costa, Lance, Otto, RDM, John C., Dan Rogers, and Mike Adelman.
Shout out to the Lake Forest Breakfast Group, Rod Stop in Kenosha, Captain Mike's Kenosha, Greentown Tavern in Waukegan, and the Frolic Lounge in Waukegan.
Walker, how you doing, Scoop?
Good morning, Pete. Morning, gentlemen.
Look at the gentleman that we have here. We got Joe Weiss back, political quasi-expert, and Rick Lesser.
Quasi. Quasi.
Quasi.
And Quasi. And Rick Lesser, good buddy, good attorney, longtime resident in the area, attorney in the area. Rick Lesser, thank you for coming on the show, my friend.
Good. Pete, thank you very much to you, Scoo, and Joe for having me on the podcast this morning. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Rick, besides us having a couple beers over at Duffer's, can you give us a little more of a background without us spitting popcorn in each other's face?
Sure. I would be delighted. I'm an attorney here in Lake Forest. I've been attorney for 43 years now. Amazingly long time. We do write wills and trusts, and we help people administer them when the time comes, and also do a lot of litigation that arises out of these things. I've been active in local politics, both on the Lake Bluff Village Board. I served on the village board there from 2003 to 2011, and I was also the Republican candidate for the Illinois House of Representatives in 2018. So I've done a variety of public service. I've also been president of the Rotary Club, president of the Chamber of Commerce, president of the Lake County Bar Association. If it's a huge job and doesn't pay anything, hey, I'm all over it.
And I will vouch for Rick's services. My wife especially will vouch for your services.
Yes.
Rick's bailed me out many a time. Joe Weiss, for the new people that are just tuning in, because everybody's paying attention until April 5th, can you give a little background of yourself for the new watchers and listeners?
Sure. So, new resident to Lake Forest, though I did work here many years ago. I like Rick, I was a village trustee in Morton Grove for 4 years, 1999 to 2003. Before that, I was a member of the Niles Township High School District 219 Board of Education from 1991 to 1999. I'd like to say I served my 12-year sentence as an elected official. So I appreciate everything that anyone that's ever run for local office or held local office has to go through. I've also worked in public policy for starting as an intern for Governor Jim Thompson way back when I was in college, and then Governor Edgar, Governor Rauner, as well as Comptrollers Judy Bartopinka and Leslie Munger. So I've worked on quite a few campaigns and also, like I said, public policy administration as well.
I'm also a great fan of Leslie Munger, by the way.
She lives not far from here.
She's an outstanding public servant.
Great. It was really a shame that she got caught up in that whole special election in 2016. I think if it had been just a standalone election without the presidential race that year, she would have won. Every single newspaper endorsed her. She lives, like I said, here in Lake County in Lincolnshire. And I think many Friday nights you can find her and her husband, John, at the Deer Path Inn in the bar down there.
Yes, I ran into them fairly recently there. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. It was really a shame because she was a great public servant that just got caught up in things way beyond her control. And, you know, the death of Judy Bartopinka was just an enormous tragedy for the state as well. And, you know, unfortunately, Judy should have been governor, but people like Prue Beidler gave money to Rod Blagojevich. So that's what happened there. But we'll talk more about that in the show here.
Well, my number one rule is I never want to be the smartest guy in the room. So that's why I have you three guys in, because, you know, this is like critical times. We got a debate tonight, the League of Women Voters. A lot of stuff is going down. People are sort of tuned in. Nobody's really going to do a lot of homework. Hopefully people don't rely on the fact that, well, the caucus candidate always wins. This is going to be a tight deal. The highest vote total that we've seen for mayor has been, what, 4,500 SKU? And the projections are it's going to get upwards of 7,000. So if you are a Lake Forest resident and you are just going to sit this one out, this is not the time to do it. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, so far, there's, looking at the records from the Lake County Clerk, there's over 2,500 absentee ballot requests, I believe, last I checked. I don't have the number in front of me. Early voting has actually started at the courthouse in Waukegan, and there's a few Lake Forest residents that have voted early. I believe the ballots now, if you requested by mail, are starting to hit the come to the residents' houses now from the clerk's office. And I'm sure some people have already returned them if they've gotten them. So, I suspect, as I said last week, that this is going to be a higher turnout than most local elections because, the mayoral race is pretty heated. And then you have the Lake Forest High School referendum as well. And, you know, the whole vote by mail thing, as I said last week, it is easier to vote in Illinois than any other state. So I think the turnout will be higher than what people are used to seeing in a municipal election.
Rick, well, I'm sure you're going to vote early. It's gotten to be very easy to vote early. I've never been as much of a fan of the mail ballots, but I like voting early. Frankly, it's much more convenient.
Rick, you've been around.
Like I said, the early voting has started at the courthouse, and I don't know the date offhand that it starts at the City Hall, but
Rick, you've been around since what, 86, 87? Have you seen anything?
I've been here in Lake Forest since 87, yeah. And I will tell you, this is far and away the most dramatic election that I've seen in this time. The last time that there was a major rift in local politics was, it was a group, I forgot what. I think it was called the Heritage Party, although I could be mistaken. that ran against the caucus candidates. This was in the early, sometime in the 90s. This election now is, I think, the most divisive that I have seen in Lake Forest in the time I've been here.
Scoo, the elder statesman of Lake Forest.
Being here in 87, I'm still the new kid, you know.
What are your thoughts, Scoo? I mean, obviously you haven't, or maybe you have it. This is nothing like the school board election crap that was going down.
No, I mean, it's like Rick said, there was a contested election back in the 90s, and it was a full slate of candidates, not just one person deciding that she needs to be the mayor. So, I mean, there was issues going on that, you know, like I said, they had a full slate of candidates, and I think only one survived the vote, and he was an alderman and did a good job. But there are a lot more issues, I think, around that, which precipitated a full slate, which, you know, today it's someone who feels that she needs to be mayor after getting denied three times by three different caucuses, then lying about, you know, going about the process, circumventing the process. I mean, it's just a whole myriad of stuff. So I don't really give much credence to her winning, but, you know, never know. I mean, people don't do their homework. So they kind of vote on emotion and feel that she's the nicest person in the world. And, you know, she wasn't selected. She wasn't selected, and she's crying and acting like a child and trying to get her way.
I do think that Randy Tack is winning the yard sign war. everybody can debate.
Signs don't vote.
Important or not. I believe that it's indicative of general support. So I think that the yard sign war is important, but you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion about that.
And he's winning the war that he's not. I mean, she's taking the stance with her minions to be negative and all this other stuff. Randy's taking the high road and, you know, just doing what he needs to do.
What's interesting is she's spinning, at least online, that she's running the positive campaign and Randy Tack is running the negative campaign, which is not true. But she's, the very fact that she's saying that means she's running a negative campaign.
She's lying.
She's trying to have it. She's like, oh, I'm above the fray. You know, and nothing could be further from the truth by virtue of the fact, one, she's trying to make an issue out of the whole railroad deal. And how Randy handled it. So that whether you agree with her or Randy or not, that's negative.
Well, you know, let's that railroad issue is a no issue.
Right.
And to make an issue that Randy did not come out to walk the tracks like Prue did.
I will dissent on this one.
And they took that stance because they had to take that stance. What can you do?
Well, I think if Randy had the exact opposite view on the issue, Prue would take that point of view, the view that Randy had right now. I think Prue is fishing for issues.
Well, let's take the opposite view. Let's look at the Westminster Project as an example. Mm-hmm. You got all those neighbors, the few of them there, all supporting Prue. And Prue is, you know, God, I said her name. But she is echoing that she's going to be sound development the right way and all that. And all these guys are supporting her because, you know, they've been wronged by building a house and a condo on that site. Well, if anyone did their homework and looked back, when Prue was an alderman, she voted for the development. She voted for the sale and purchase of the land to the developer. So these guys are all, you know, one, she's hypocritical. she's a hypocrite because she's now, you know, all she's doing is taking people in who will, you know, support her. But these guys on the other side, you know, it's, I think they call it sleeping with the enemy. Prue was an enemy. And now because she's running against the city process, they're all now her favorite. So it's just a joke. I mean, she can't go. She keeps going different ways. And oh, by the way, she doesn't support small business in town, which is a crime. And that's evident by the numerous businesses that have been approached by her and her minions, you know, making threats or idle threats about, you know, taking signs down and or we're going to boycott. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying boycotting that they said boycotting, but you get the gist. I mean, I don't know Randy going into any businesses saying, why do you have the Prue signs up?
Well, I haven't seen any Prue signs up in any businesses either.
Right.
If I can, I want to go back though to the railroad.
Yeah, get on the railroad, Rick.
Let's get on the railroad. Let's get on the train. The choo choo. I think that the neighbors do have a legitimate point in the Armor area. I'm sorry, the Western area, that the siding would be a negative thing for the area. And I don't blame people for not wanting to have a freight train or more freight traffic going by their houses. I don't think that's an unreasonable concern. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that that's your control. The city is much larger than that, and the city city had a contrary interest in wanting to have the Amtrak train going to Milwaukee stop in Lake Forest, which was also a reasonable thing, but was also somewhat contrary, at least politically, to the goal of trying to stop the third rail of freight traffic. So I mean, I think that was a legitimate issue, and I think that it was one where I don't blame Prue for getting out there and walking the tracks with the residents as an alderman. I think aldermen should be out there listening to their constituents and looking at the problems. So you may or may not like Prue on the caucus or other issues, doesn't mean that there is no point to the train issue. I think there was some point.
But you know, and that's fair. And I think Randy, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but Randy, you know, along with the rest of the city, did oppose the third rail.
Right.
But I think the bone of contention here is how you oppose it and what you can actually do. Mm-hmm. Prue sounds like she wants to do what the Village of Glenview did, which is spend a lot of money on consultants and lobbyists and yard signs, opposing
which
that.
Which I agree did no good at all.
Right. And Randy's like, hey, look, that's a waste of tax dollars. Let's, you know, we'll meet with Brad Schneider. We'll meet with Senator Durbin. We'll meet with Senator Duckworth, because if there's any regulation of this, it comes from the federal level, not from the municipal government. What's that?
It's not a city issue.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And she's making it into, again, she's fishing for issues. If Randy says up, she'll say down. I mean, she's just basically looking for issues, which is very common when you are running against Randy's not the incumbent. George Pandelian, who has endorsed Randy, is the incumbent. But you know, when you're running against the incumbent, particularly in a community like this, where people are pretty happy with the way things are here, and you know, so you got to find that she's trying to find, oh, this issue over here, this issue over here, and even though she was on the same side of the issue at one time, she's trying to turn up into down.
She's on the same side of every issue positively that went through the city. I mean, that was probably one of her downfalls in the interview process, which I wasn't in it. I don't know. But, you know, she was not a stronger candidate than Randy, period. And the 43 caucus members decided that. And that's, you know, but she feels that she is, and she wasn't. And to even back up on it, three separate caucuses interviewed her for mayor and she declined. Here's the other thing. Part of the interview process is you're asked, if you don't move through the process, will you run against the caucus? And if it's a, if yes, I'm going to run against the caucus, then you're disqualified. You don't even get moved on because that's conflict, right? She said, no, I'm not going to run. That's why they moved her through the process. So she lied. I mean, that's the first thing. It's just, it's everything's against, like you said, you know, someone says blue, she says gray.
Stu, the people that aren't really paying attention that are going to go out and vote, it's Prue is sticking to this railroad thing. There is sentiment. Yeah, I don't want it, but I don't have control over it. Right. Mm-hmm. People have to understand
that. Right.
Randy didn't want it either, but he didn't want to spend our tax dollars to go fight it like Glenview.
And you know what? Whoever wins as mayor, guess what happens if that railroad issue comes up again? Unless you talk to the state reps that can push, you know, issues through the assembly and all that, you have no say in it. Waste the time. Move on. Yeah,
even, right? And even the state reps have very little control over the railroad. I mean, the railroads, they have a lot of built-in power, and to the extent they're regulated, it's regulated by federal, not by state. So,
and you know, I feel sorry.
I'm getting Brad Schneider to take your phone call.
I mean, yeah, right.
She gave him money, so maybe that'll
residents
help.
Residents there, right? You know, that have, you know, the residents that are here in the trains and all that. But, you know, last I checked, that railroad and those freight trains were there before the houses were there.
They were.
And these people bought into this knowing not just there was a third rail out there, but one train going through. And there is a side rail a little ways down, I think more towards Roundout. But, you know, it's just, you know, unbelievable. You buy into something, you know it's there. And, you know.
And having two metro stations on two different lines is actually a great selling point for the community. It's very convenient for anyone to get downtown. And like you said last week, Scoo, I think people would love to have the train to Milwaukee if you know, because we had it in, actually Glenview has the Amtrak.
You have to go to Glenview to pick up the train.
We used it to go to Milwaukee Airport and get a cheap flight sometimes. So that's
all I know is all those little minions screaming and hollering if the Amtrak decides to put the stop in there, those people will all be the first ones on that train hooping and hollering that I don't have to drive to Milwaukee. I could just get off here.
We have the debate tonight. I'm trying to go down the issues. Joe, you're a political guy. Rick, you're an attorney, so you're both better speakers than Scoo and I. You think Prue's going to lead with the railroad like she is with her emails and stuff, or how do you think it's going to go down? The number one rule is, what did you say, Joe? Is don't step in dog poop.
Yeah, don't say anything stupid at a debate. Everyone, like I've said, everyone in that room tonight is.
Oh, that was what I should have done.
Everyone in that room tonight is going to be a supporter of one of the candidates. There's going to be zero undecided voters.
Correct.
In at the Gorton
and
Center
it's not,
tonight.
It, you know, we say it's a debate. It's not really a debate.
No, it's a candidate forum.
It's a forum.
I mean, this is
you're not
presidential debate that's on 12
disagreeing.
Channels.
I they have very softball questions that are going to be thrown at all of them. And
I went through for this process in 2018 as the Republican candidate for the State House. And we had a League of Women Voters forum at Deerfield High School. And, of course, I look out at, from the stage at the League of Women Voters, the people who are running the show, and they are all Democrats. I know
Prue is in that photograph with the League of Women Voters at the parade. And also, if you go back, I've done a little since Susan Garrett has chosen to inject herself into this campaign, into this quote unquote nonpartisan campaign, a Democrat former state legislator. I've done a little looking at some of Susan's background and stuff. And guess what Susan was part of before she ran for state legislature? The League of Women Voters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's, look.
The League
is
not
what it is.
Nonpartisan.
Again, I don't think it's that big of a thing unless a candidate says something really dumb. It'll be interesting to see how the two of them look side by side in terms of how they come across to people. I think you know, Randy is not a politician by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, he's given, I think, $200 to the candidates.
Nor are any other of the candidates.
True. Well, yeah, I mean, but I think, you know, I think you're going to find that Randy has a better command of the issues because he did more as an alderman. Right. He's led more. So, you know, I mean, we're not, like I said, I don't think there's going to be any like knockout punch by a candidate like you see in some debates or.
Unless Susan Garrett's on the stage.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later. But what I'm concerned about is it's not a live stream. They're going to record it and then put it out later. Does that mean they're going to edit it to somebody's favor?
Good question. You know, someone's sitting there with a cell phone.
The last time they did it, they had the whole thing out there. The last contested election.
Rick?
So who knows?
Yeah, I think that I don't know what editing is going to be able to be done that would really make any impact. This is a forum. They have questions. They ask each of the participants responds to the question.
Right.
And they don't address each other directly, as you would like in a presidential debate or a true debate. And it's designed to be informational. I'm not really that worried about an editing issue. They're not going to make like Randy look dark and prove right or something like that.
But you could. I'm not suggesting the league does this, but the potential exists. Like, let's say, Prue gives a really bad answer or Randy gives a really good answer that, you know, maybe that gets edited out. I don't think it will.
Prue's
going to have trouble answering questions within the time frame. That's her general persona, that it's just blah, 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 blah.
When I ran and it was in those candidate forums or debates, this was back in the 90s. We had four, not just one newspaper reporter covering our meetings. We had four local newspapers covering the District 219 school board meetings. And when they did these candidates forums, they got reporters from the different local papers to be the panel, the people asking the questions. And I think it clearly there was no agenda back when I was there by any of the reporters. They were asking very objective, fair questions of that. I think, you know, you could have submitted a question online, though I looked at the website and it said it has to be a question for all the candidates. So I think some of the things that we have concerns about with Prue, whether it's her campaign donations and the partisan influence, or the concerns that they may be raising about Randy, I don't know if those will come up as questions, because I think they're going to stick to general questions about issues. But, you know, if there's bias, there could be bias in that, and they'll focus on questions.
They're going to try to stick to issues, but honestly, there's not many issues.
Right.
And Prue is going to struggle, and it'll be interesting. So if you're there to watch how concise her answers are, which if they are concise, that means she's had a lot of coaching and practicing for this big forum, because she cannot be concise. And I think that was one of the problems of her interview, was she kept rambling on and couldn't stop talking and, you know, didn't get to answer questions that were asked of her because she rambles. So we'll see. But not many issues to really kind of – the railroad thing is not an issue. It's such a non-issue that they're making it an issue because there aren't any issues.
Well, I would expect it will be one of the questions.
I do too.
Yeah. I'm not sure what are the issues. You know, there's the Westminster building issue.
Done.
I would expect it, but it's already – right. It's already – both of these are issues.
You could get a question about development. you see a theme in her campaign about development, mm-hmm. and having, you know, some cautions in development. And I'm sure, yeah, Rick, you mean? As a trustee, we dealt with every municipal government deals with development issues.
Yeah, but she's talking about proper development, but yet again, she supported all the development that's been happening. So are you saying, Prue, that what you approved all the time as alderman, you're now against? I mean,
well, it's always a legitimate topic for local government, because it is the one thing that local government does is land use. You know, police protection, you got fire, you got garbage pickup, but those are all ministerial jobs. You know, they're things that you want to have and you need to supervise, but there's not a lot of policy involved. Whereas land use, the local boards do have a lot of control. And that's a legitimate topic for mayor of Lake Forest.
You're right, Rick, but the local boards have that. And, you know, by the time it gets to the council for vote, you know, it is whatever it is. But again, she has no final say unless it's a tie.
ZBA, your zoning board of appeals, has already made a recommendation. And when you're on the city council or the mayor, you really don't want to have to override the local boards.
But who appoints the zoning board of appeals?
The caucus. Well, I should say the caucus nominates them.
Right.
The mayor, I think, appoints them, and with the approval of the city council.
Right.
So the mayor has a say in it.
Oh yes.
Maybe not the final say, but the mayor has a say.
No. The mayor doesn't have a say in.
No.
You know, stuff being passed. If the ZBA passes something that has to go up to the council for a vote, the only time she has, and I'm not even saying she, because that means the mayor has a say, is if that decision is a tie between the aldermen.
Right. But remember this, and we've talked about this before, there is a official role of the mayor, and then there's an unofficial role.
Yes.
The mayor is the leader of the community. All right. And if whoever wins this election is going to be the leader of the community, and when they say something about any issue, it could be nothing to do with the city. They could come out for some state or federal issue.
Right.
It has some weight as the leader of Lake Forest. Now, like I said, the trustees might go, or the city council might go a totally opposite direction, but the very fact that the elected leader of a community is for or against something carries a lot of weight. Joe, so that's why I think it's important to find out where she stands on as many issues as possible.
And Joe,
you might see one day Lake Forest Mayor Prue Beidler coming out for this or for that. And those are types of things that people, if they'd known before the election, would have said, yeah, I don't want that person being my mayor.
They also have to do the agenda. Bear in mind, there's one of the most powerful roles in any form of government is setting the agenda. And the mayor sets the agenda.
Right.
You can, you know, no matter how much sympathy there may be on a topic, if it's never on the agenda, it never comes to light.
Right.
The agenda is very important, and the mayor controls that.
Yeah, with the city manager.
Speaking of agenda, gents, things that make you say, huh, I don't know about you, but like the night before, or the hour right before the show records, because everybody knows when it records, the phone blows up with texts and emails and, hey, do you know this, you know that? A couple funky things. Number one, Susan Garrett, way to apologize to all the people that you have threatened that are small businesses. Good for you. Did you guys hear that?
No.
I've heard it from someone that works at one of the businesses.
So I guess, Rick, you're the attorney. We allegedly heard this.
Allegedly.
She went around.
You witnessed it, Pete.
He's right here.
You witnessed it at Gerhard's.
I didn't witness the apology. I witnessed
the assault.
The insult. So I guess she got some bad press. I guess there's this podcast out there that people heard, and they got some blowback.
Well, like I said, you know, for a former member, you know, there's always these games with signs. Rick, you've been around, and
Yes.
You know, there's always signs that show up missing and all this stuff. And, you know, this, and I place less importance on signs than you do. But that said, you know, there's nothing more petty than either taking someone's sign or threatening someone over a sign. But that happens in campaigns by random supporters. But for a former state legislator to be threatening to organize boycotts. And in fact, I call all the people online that whenever you jump on, Pete, and say something, they can't answer the questions, but they jump on you or me or Scoo, even they jumped on the other day. But I call them the Prue bots. You know, the Prue bots get all wound up over it. But there's just no, you know, here you're supposed to, the mayor is supposed to promote businesses in the community and support small business. And here you are having not just some random supporter, but a former state legislator who you're touting as endorsing you. I mean, it's out in the open. She posted an endorsement from her.
I got a silly letter, the Honorable Susan Garrett.
Yeah, Rod Blagojevich was the honorable too, but we won't get into that. But
well, she apologized. Does that make it right? Is everything okay now?
She apologized because she got busted on it.
Yeah, let's say, first off, it's not petty. I know what you're saying, Joe, but it's not petty in a small town for someone to go into businesses and do that. It's hard enough right now for small businesses, and to have someone come in and, you know, kind of force the issue of hanging up a sign when you don't want to, and then, you know, making innuendos that, oh, you know, I can do this and that. I mean, that's one, childish. And two, you know, if you're running for mayor, the leader of the town, you know,
well, I will say,
obviously you must not support small business.
I've been a small business owner in downtown Lake Forest for over 30 years. And I am delighted to see Randy Tack, as someone who is chairing the Central Business District committee, running for mayor, because frankly, the city of Lake Forest, I think most of the small business owners feel, just ignores the downtown large measure. And I would be glad to get somebody in who has spent some time, some effort and some understanding of the Central Business District in Lake Forest, because the area, we clearly need help.
And what Randy's setting up is
there are a lot of problems, you know. And I was able to talk to Randy the other night at Duffer's at Joe at that event that we were at about some of the problems. Snow removal. Why can't we? You know. I have a business. We have a lot of elderly clients. We want to be able to, people should be able to use the sidewalks in the winter in the Central Business District. Lake Forest does not plow the snow in our area. And that's a constant annual aggravation every time it snows.
And Prue wants to blow the Central Business District project that is Randy's heading up. And I've gone to a few of the meetings. It's fantastic. It's engaging the community on what we need in the Central Business District to improve it, to move it forward. And it is lame right now. Like you said, Rick, there's not much there and it needs to be revitalized. She wants to blow it up.
Yeah.
I mean, wants everything to stay as normal.
We've had some great success with new restaurants. I mean, you know, this has really been very, very nice. I mean, I that's been wonderful. Retail is really suffering in downtown Lake Forest. That's something that we should be looking at. Lake Bluff, and I'm former Lake Bluffer, has been eating Lake Forest lunch for decades.
Yep.
I still think it was we, even though I'm now a Lake Forester, have been stealing businesses from Lake Forest, Lake Forest sports cars, canals. It's a long list of very good sales tax revenue generating businesses, Pasquazi Home and Garden, that have moved from Lake Forest to Lake Bluff over the years. I got to tell you, it's a big help to Lake Bluff. Lake Bluff, roughly half of the budget and revenues come from sales taxes.
Right.
Lake Forest, it's not even remotely close. The sales tax revenue is much, much lower than in Lake Bluff. And that's in large measure because of leadership by the local village. They've been willing to reach out.
You know, we touched on this last week's show, but I think it lends itself to this discussion about, you know, that Prue has supported, again, you know, I think the campaign donations she's made raise a lot of questions, but Prue has supported politicians who elsewhere have created things like taxes on shopping bags. And the village of Northbrook just implemented a 10 cent per bag. And it's not just plastic bags, it's paper bags too, which doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, all these taxes on bags. And this week on her Facebook, she posted a picture of how she went shopping at these different stores, and she actually had the bags from like four or five different stores. And I just raised the question, and it still isn't answered. Do you, since you gave money to Rahm Emanuel, who he implemented a bag tax in the city of Chicago, since you gave money to Rahm Emanuel, are you going to support a tax on bags here? And when I brought this up elsewhere online, some of her supporters actually have come out in favor of the bag tax and the soda tax and all these different little things. I want to know where Prue stands on that. And again, yeah, mayor only votes in a tie officially, but I guarantee you if the mayor of Lake Forest comes out in favor of something, it has a much better chance of being adopted than not. So, you know, this is,
if she's a mayor, I can guarantee you she doesn't hold any weight because of what she's done to get to that point, you know, and in this city manager form of government, it's just
supporting her. Look at the people she's supported and look at the people who are supporting her.
Here, let me think that
elections have consequences. And if you elect somebody that wants to do certain things, sooner or later, it might not happen right away, but I think you're going to start to see those things. Like I said last week, the same thing happened in Northbrook. They had a nonpartisan system, and gradually over time, the Democrats took it over. And now you're seeing things like a bag tax. You're seeing communities adopting different policies with their police departments. And now some of these, not just Chicago, but some of these suburbs are having trouble filling police vacancies because they've got people that are running the city that are Kim Fox supporters. Can it happen in Lake Forest? It can, because elections have consequences. And here's the simplest way to prevent that. Keep someone out of the mayor's office that supports Kim Fox, that supports people wanting to raise taxes on bags and soda pop.
Guys, I want to close out the Susan Garrett thing. Rick, you're an attorney. Let's take this alleged hypothetical thing. If you go into a business and you say, if you don't put up my sign or you don't take down that sign, if you do or you don't, I'm going to boycott your business. What is the fine line between a threat and extortion?
Oh, I couldn't give you a legal opinion about that if I wanted to. I don't think either one is a legal issue. People are entitled to their views. They're entitled to shop at the stores they want to shop at. And there's nothing wrong in the world legally with somebody saying, boy, that shop supports my opponent, therefore I'm not going to shop there. You can do that. That's why most businesses don't put up signs for candidates for just this reason. But on the other hand, if the business owner believes that, you know, they feel strongly about the issue and they want to put up the sign, they have every right in the world to put up the sign.
I just think you're absolutely right, Rick. I just think it's pretty, I think it was pretty crappy of a former state legislator who is front and center of her campaign, publicly endorsed her, to go around threatening an organized boycott.
Joe, she apologized. Perfect. Okay,
she apologized only because she got caught. It's like you catching your kid taking cookies out of the cookie jar, and then they apologize. Susan Garrett was trying to bully businesses. And again, not just some random supporter, a former state legislator who is all part of this whole partisanship that Prue seems to want to deny.
One other thing is, and Ricky mentioned again, issue. And it keeps coming up, issue. And the only issue she has, Prue, that is running, is because she didn't get accepted by the caucus. She has no, there, you know, her minions have issues, axes to grind, and they're making them issues, but there's no real issue she can run on.
Well, you brought up minions. Things that make you go, number two, got to bring this up. Our boy Phil Aruca comes front and center again. Anybody get that email?
I didn't receive it, but I did see it. Yes.
Dude, could somebody talk to that? What the hell is he doing?
Well, Phil Aruca is kind of, and I don't know him, but he is kind of what is the problem, as I've talked about numerous times, the people versus process. He's part of the people problem within the caucus system is, you know, when you raise your hand and you're asked to volunteer and be on the caucus committee, the first question is conflict. Next question is, do you have the time? And the third question is, can you check your partisanship at the door? And it's hard to do that, but there seems to be more and more people getting in and saying one thing, and then when they get in, doing another. And he's, you know, the classic case. And that's the problem when you have this caucus process, is when you let if you can't keep the partisanship out, you can do whatever you want.
You're letting them in, but you're keeping them in.
Standpoint. But, huh?
You let them in.
Do you know if there's any process to remove them? Do you know if there's any process in the, you know, the
caucus? Yeah, I mean, the president can say, you know, you don't support the process.
I don't know that the president of the caucus has the unilateral right to remove a ward chair.
Well, let's put it this way.
I mean, there is a process, and they are elected.
Right. There is. Well,
not a public one, but it's.
Well, hang on a second. There's a. You know, people think that this exec council, there are four wards and nine people that volunteer and are elected by the four of us, mm-hmm. Not the exec council. The exec council is people that are within the caucus process that decide they want to, their term's up or whatever, they want to be on the exec council. Well, once they remove themselves from the ward and go to the exec council, you have to backfill that with another elected person to fill that in. So technically, I'd say, you know, those exec council people really aren't elected by us anymore if we're backfilling, you know, because they go on the slate, even if they're
I don't know that the president of the caucus has the unilateral right to remove somebody from that position.
I can answer that.
Having a
podcast is a conflict of interest. The way it works is they can call a vote.
Well, it's a conflict of interest, Pete, when we went away from supporting what they were doing.
You know, I read Aruca's op-ed or whatever you want to call it in the patch. But then if you go back and look, after this whole thing went down that he's upset about, they had their event at the car dealership, and there's a video from there that the caucus has aired, and one of the people giving an endorsement of Randy Tack is Phil Aruca.
Right.
And so what happened between
these people wanting their way too.
What's that?
It's people wanting their way, like Prue. If they don't get their way, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, with Susan Garrett too, Phil Aruca, it sent that out because I believe it was leaked out of the caucus that he had a meet and greet for Prue at her house. And that cost, like, you know, what? Wait a minute. I thought you're supporting the caucus. You know, so that kind of was the whole thing. My understanding was, you know, that was found out. And then, you know, there was some discussion on that. And, you know,
well, and you look at Arouca's social media and you see a lot of vote blue slogans. And he
but that doesn't matter. That doesn't
matter. But you just said if you can't check your partisanship at the door.
Yeah, I agree with that. These are supposed to be nonpartisan offices. You know, the Democratic Party a few years ago started a group called Run for Something. And they have been encouraging members of the Democratic Party to run for nonpartisan local offices.
Yeah.
As a way of improving the bench.
Governor Pritzker is funding a lot of that.
Yeah.
There is a whole thing of look.
This has suddenly gotten a lot more partisan,
you know,
than ever been before.
But Phil Arouca is someone,
I bet you see him on the ballot one day running for something.
The point I'm making with Arouca is with the caucus, you are supposed to check your partisanship at the door. And if you can't, but the caucus, one of the problems is with technology nowadays, you know, the people interviewing people for these volunteer spots, all they got to, like you said, Joe, you go to his social media, you're vetting someone, you go to their social media and you see that, you say, that's a conflict. You can't, you're partisan in a nonpartisan. So thank you very much for raising your hand, but that's not done. That's part of the problem.
I think there's, you know, if I was the caucus, I would make sure everyone sees that video of Arouca saying all the wonderful things about Randy Tack. Because how is it you went from saying Randy Tack's a great guy and should be mayor to suddenly saying you can't support him in like 2 months? After the process occurred, it'd be one thing if that video had been recorded before everything that he's complaining about in the op-ed happened, but he filmed that video after that whole thing went down. So what happened in Phil Arouca's mind that
he was outed?
Yeah.
He was outed in a meet and greet. That's simply plain and simple.
Yeah.
So he's defensive.
But as a result, you really can't take anything he says seriously.
Right.
Rick?
I don't know Mr. Arouca. I don't want to say anything for or against him.
Thank you. Thank you, his opinion.
But I do know that the caucus leadership should be unified in supporting the caucus nominee, who is Randy Tack.
Well, Rick, leadership. That is the worst leader of the caucus that's ever been had, is what I've been told. Well, I've seen it.
And the whole thing about this, and that's why I keep saying partisanship, I don't care, the four of us, how we feel about our political views. But once you raise your hand and say, I want to participate in the city process that has guidelines, and you're sneaking your way in and then trying to, I mean, let's be honest, there's people on the caucus committee right now that, you know, are trying to push a Democrat agenda as well as a Republican agenda. That is, there's people that want these Democrat people off. There's people that want the Republican people. All those people are part of the problem. And that's where it's challenging. But yeah, I mean,
I agree with you, Scoo. And I've heard you say other things on the podcast before, extolling the benefits of the caucus system. The caucus system has brought great stability and has been an outstanding asset for Lake Forest for 80 years or however long it's been going on. And it's been very successful. Bringing in partisanship into the caucus is a negative that will inevitably harm the caucus. I do think the caucus needs to.
And I think what you're seeing in other communities
figure out what does
now.
The annual meeting vote really mean or not.
Right.
If you have a vote, then it's got to mean something. If you don't want to have the, if you're not willing to live with whatever the result of the vote is, don't have the vote. You know, you got to do one or the other.
The caucus created Prue Beidler. The caucus created her aldermanic tenure. She was an alderman because of the caucus.
Right.
Yes.
And she was all caucus until it wasn't cool for her to be caucus.
Right.
Well, she showed up at the annual meeting with supporters, which she's entitled to do.
Well, getting back to caucus leadership,
the caucus recommendations.
Hold on, we got to get to this point. If Sheila, what's her name? Sheila Henrietta. She changed. Okay, she was the president 7 years ago, and she's the one that changed the bylaws that left this loophole open to do this crap. That remember when you can go, anybody can go to our past podcast and look this stuff up. The bylaws were down for like months, and we're like, where the hell are these things? All right. And it just seems like this has been in motion for a while. Now, that's me. I'm a, you know, I look at the worst possible case scenario. But if you have these bad leaders at the top that are have an agenda or trying
changing
to
bylaws.
Changing bylaws. Yeah. Why is that? And all of a sudden this Prue's marketing campaign comes into play.
To Prue texting you?
Seriously, it's like this, man. Come April 5th. Pete who?
She should go. You know, I said this last week. I say it again. She could clear all this up by going on your show. And I think you and with Scoo with you, I think the two of you would be very fair to her.
I do my walk through town.
Three times she appears on the podcast.
I see her walking around with her buddy. I don't know who's mayor, Sue or Prue.
But she turns around, Pete, and there's a 6'11", 400-pound guy chasing her. I'd be running, too.
She does a very good backpedal.
He's harmless.
Scoo, any other things that came up that you wanted to talk about? I thought you had something interesting to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, since we're talking about stuff, I mean, that does kind of tie.
Is this a legend? Is this a legend? We have an attorney on the show. Is this a legend?
No, this is fact. No alleged anything.
Of your own personal knowledge.
Yes. Experience. So, and this ties, well, I'll just explain it. And Pete, you might want to put in, you know, this is not, language being used is not for underage people.
Yeah, okay.
So
PG-17.
My wife and dog and I were doing our Saturday morning walk. Then we go through South Park and then, you know, come back up on Washington and, you know, get over to Westminster and then head home. And we were walking up Washington and came upon Westminster vacant lot that's being developed, and there are two people, Mr. Tarosian and Mr. Daly, standing in the driveway, long driveway there, as we were walking by, and they're staring out at the, I guess there were some trees being cut down at the time, and Saturday morning. And, you know, we walked by just minding our own business and we stopped a little bit, say, oh, you know, it was looking at all the clearing of the lot. Obviously, they're getting ready for the development. So we're walking up Westminster, getting close to McKinley, when we hear this loud female, "Fuck you!" And I'm like, whoa, what was that? And then I turn around because the next one was, "Fuck you and your podcast." So that prompted me to like, gee, I don't know. So I turn around and running down, if you're familiar with the driveway there, I believe it's Mr. Daly.
I'm familiar with the phrase, "fuck you."
I see this two ladies running down the driveway, jumping and screaming and giving me the salute and yelling, "fuck you." Then they say, "fuck you and your dog." And my wife, who is
"fuck you, dog, Gopher." Come on, yeah.
And my wife, who is Switzerland, was like, "what the?" And they were screaming. And I mean, they were obviously pointed at me. First off, Lori Tarosian, Laura Tarosian, Jeff, Reed Daly, and Myra, his wife. Thank you for listening to the podcast, because if you're not, I don't know why you'd be yelling, fuck you, fuck your podcast. But anyways, oh, the other thing they said is, come fucking over here and see what we have to go through. I'm like, well, I was just over there. I just walked by. And so we were verbally assaulted from, by these apoplectic people that are going nuts over the development. And I got to say, I'm really disappointed because, first off, I have nothing to do with it. I'm just a citizen. And I don't care what stance you take on how you feel about government in the city, how you don't feel. You don't have a right to be a bully and verbally assault people. And Rick, sorry if I'm using the wrong term, but verbally assaulting people to walk through the neighborhood because someone may not agree with what you agree with. I mean, it was atrocious. I ended up calling my two aldermen. I called the city manager. I mean, this has gotten to the point of so craziness. I know there's a lawsuit right now pending that this group of residents are suing now the city. And I know they've gone back. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. And here's the other thing. Lori Trojan, I grew up with her family. Her family, I've coached their brothers. They're fantastic family. And I can guarantee you that if her father was walking through the neighborhood and heard that, he would be mortified at hearing what her daughter. And oh, by the way, when I turned around, they're so nuts. They are jumping up and giving me the salute, me, my wife, and my dog. You know, the dog thing freaks me out because I'm like, to say fuck your dog too must mean
there's laws against
bestiality or something, because it just was uncalled for. Wow. And then I get, well, here's the other thing. Then the bullies, their husbands, just stood there giving me the salute. They didn't say anything because they left it to their wives.
You're number one, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, just so number one, thank you for watching the podcast, because obviously if you tell me to fuck the podcast, fuck your podcast, you must be listening to it. I don't know what, but to do what they did is more, it's bullying.
Yeah.
You know, bullying. And, you know, unfortunately, my wife is the most wonderful person in the world. And we were friends when the Trojans lived around the corner from us. And all of a sudden, now I guess it's because we disagree. You know, first off, there is nothing on the Trojan property besides visual that is impacting their property with this development. And it's just, I don't get it. I mean, you move there knowing that the lot was going to be developed. I mean, it's just kind of the train thing, right? You knew what was coming.
This election and these issues have brought out much more emotion than I've seen in Lake Forest before, and it's not a good emotion.
And here's the funniest thing, Rick, about this is what you're saying is the funniest thing about this whole Westminster development and all these neighbors that are in that area support Crew, and you can just see by their yard signs. People, when you're looking to find out who you should vote for and all this, and don't take it by emotion. All these people right in that area that were, you know, giving me this, my wife, the salute and all that, they have Prue yard signs. But guess what? When Prue, go back, rewind the tape and all that. But when Prue was alderman, she supported the development there. She also signed off as an alderman on the sale of the lot to the developer. So I'm confused. Besides being crazy, I mean, they're hypocritical. I mean, now they're supporting. Is it just because if the city says one thing, there's a group of people that want to go against the city? And it's just kind of this back and forth.
It's called contrarian politics. If I say up, you say down.
And it's just hilarious that they have the Prue yard signs. You know, I'll say it's sleeping with the enemy. Now you're all of a sudden supporting her, and you were her enemy a couple of years ago. So I just wanted to share with that. It is tied to
It's unfortunate
what's going on, and it's just it's so uncalled for. I mean, it's just, you know, we can't as citizens disagree and agree and just, you know, be nice and just move on.
Being a Chicago native, somebody says F you, that's a badge of honor to me. And as far as Reed Daly, he's been asked to come on the show a bunch of times. All these people that have these opinions, they never come on. And you know what? They all tend to be these, I hate to paint a broad brush, these Democrats where they'll say all this stuff, but they'll never give any objective data. They won't go to you face to face. Like Prue or Sue or whoever, I say, well, why don't you come on the show, talk to me face to face? She can't talk to me face to face in person at Gerhardt's. She's going to come on a podcast, so it's a badge of honor, Scoop.
Right. And I mean, the other quick thing, Pete, is that, you know, with that, I mean, she has posted, Laura Tarosian has posted, you know, evidently there was on Saturday a tree was cut down, it fell the wrong way, whatever. I mean, the stuff happens, and she went absolutely ballistic. They all went ballistic, but, you know, back to, you know, criticizing the city, this and that. But my point is, it's like, you can't, what does this world come to? I mean, it's just, it's absolutely lunacy. I mean, and if you're not on my side, you're my enemy. And that's just, that's the wrong thing.
Well, and one of the problems that the caucus has protected us from.
Right. Absolutely.
This kind of divisive behavior, which is really very important. Hey, and they didn't even tear down a mansion. I mean, in Lake Bluff, they can tore down this whole Stonebridge mansion. Right. But people have to put up with that too. You know.
Right,
Joe, you're the political guy, unfortunately. If you, the Republican Party, and I hate to say Republican, I hate to say Democrat, because nobody wants to be called either than that, because people are taking on an identity. The Republicans don't like to make waves, you know. Yeah, these are my feelings, but don't put my name on it. Why, if you don't stand up, like if you have a small business like Scoo or Rick or whatever, and it could affect your business, I have a podcast that helps my business. But if you don't stick up to these people, they're going to keep doing it. Is that right, Joe? Right.
Yeah. You know, like I've said before with the boycotts, if you look at the history of boycotting businesses, it doesn't work. It actually has the exact opposite effect. Look at the Chick-fil-A boycott by liberals or the Starbucks boycott by conservatives. All it did was jack up business because the other side flocked. I would have loved Susan Garrett to have organized a boycott and put out that list, because then people like me would have flocked to those businesses and patronized them. But Scoot, what happened to you, that is something that we talked about, how social media and the negative influence it's had on just civil relations. This wouldn't have happened a generation ago, probably, because, you know, social media brings out horrible, horrible tendencies in people on both sides. Look, I cringe at some of the things some of my fellow Republicans.
I've seen some terrible things by Republicans.
And stuff that you would never have said to someone years ago. You never would have said that. And now it's gotten to the point they're so emboldened that it's not just on the keyboard. They're saying it to you when you're out walking your dog.
And the thing is, it's not necessarily me, because I can take stuff and all that. I mean, I think it's absolutely bullying to its extreme extent. And the one person is my wife. And if you don't know my wife, if you know my wife, she is the kindest, nicest person in the world. And yes, I'm over my skis. I'm over the mountain when I married her. I mean, if you meet her, you'll know. But to see her kind of like freak out and get so uptight and worked over, she's like, you know, I'm friends with her. What is she talking about? You know,
getting attacked like that. That's
I mean, it's just, it's beyond. I've never have really experienced that. And on top of it, to have, like my wife was saying, she's like, wait, I'm friends with her. Wait a minute. What the? Look at, she's going nuts.
And you're not even, it's not like you're, not that this should happen to a candidate, but you're not on the ballot.
dude, you didn't vote on this. I don't even think rewind the tapes that we even mentioned this whole thing. We just were regurgitating kind of facts of what was going on.
It's my fault. Just tell, hey, everybody is watching, listening. I do the editing. I do the scripting. It's Pete's fault. So read, throw,
dog him.
No, but what I'm saying,
and when and where will you be walking your dog, Pete?
No, Pete, what I'm saying is
I am not hard to spot.
We have never talked about the whole Westminster stuff in detail because of, you know, what's been going on in it. And we've mentioned it, we've kidded about the signs and all that stuff, but never like getting in detail. So to direct it like fuck the podcast and fuck you and fuck your dog, and you know, it's like, wow, these people have gone off the reservation.
More clicks for Pete.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, let me extend something, because people have asked me since I appeared on the show last week. I've had a few people ask me. There's been these crazy emails going out, Rue the Prue or something like that. They asked me if I had anything to do with Chairman Prue Facebook
somebody
page.
Said that.
Those, you know what, if that, whoever's doing it, stop. Because right. If your goal is to keep Prue Beidler from getting elected, you're going to achieve the exact opposite goal.
Right.
You know, doing things like belittling her age or her social right. status, things yes. like that, especially in a community like Lake Forest, that doesn't work. It's almost like, I almost think like the Beidler campaign is doing like the old brick through the headquarters window, because it's like you couldn't write a better script to turn people off from questioning Prue. So it undermines the credibility of people like me who are asking legitimate issue-oriented questions about a candidate for mayor. I have nothing against Prue Beidler personally. She seems like a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. I can care less what her age is or her social status, any of that stuff. I care about what she's going to do as mayor, the people that she's given money to in the past. I think it's also legitimate to talk about the specific donations to people that her daughter-in-law worked for. Kim Fox and the mayor's...
And we
kind of touched on it last week, the whole pay-to-play thing. But I want to point out something that we didn't talk about last week is the position that her daughter-in-law has in these, whether it was at the state's attorney or at the city of Chicago, is the inspector general. That's not just any political job. That is the person that's in charge of ethics for those offices. And I know nothing about her daughter-in-law. She may be the most honorable, wonderful person in the world, so this is not about her. But the very essence of ethics is it's a conflict. It's just the appearance of impropriety of someone giving money to the person that's employing the inspector general.
Yeah.
Hello?
State of Illinois. Yeah. It's the state of Illinois. This is this kind of level of pay to play has been endemic in the state for unfortunately many years, and I don't want to blame anybody for anything, because I don't know what Prue or any person may have given money out of genuine conviction and willingness because they want to support the candidate, and it could just be coincidental that that her daughter works for the office. You just don't know. I don't want to impugn anybody's motives. I completely agree that when you do personal attacks, and I've seen some of those Facebook posts too, they are personal attacks. They're very inappropriate. And all they do is generate support and sympathy for the person who's attacked.
It's stupid. It's almost like the other side's putting them up.
Well, it's gutless also, because the real person who's doing it is hiding behind, you know, yes, whether they're not putting their real name up there and all that, which is another just gutless thing to do. But my thing with Prue, and I've talked about it before, is it's not about it's not about who she's donating to. And I don't really give a crap. I want to know who's the most qualified candidate for mayor. And we have a wonderful caucus process that vets and does the right thing for 20 boards and commissions, alderman, mayor, etc. Yes, there are flaws to it. There, every process has a flaw, but it's a people thing. And I've worked with Prue on the golf course initiative that was fantastic. Prue does a great job of fundraising. But here's the thing. Prue interviewed, like Randy, like other candidates. I think there was 20-some people that were wanting to be mayor. And she lied. She told the vetting committee that she wasn't going to run for mayor against the caucus if she didn't get slotted. She lied there. She then, number two, wasn't the qualified candidate. She was not the qualified. She was picked up. Someone else was picked over by 43 people that we elect. That's pretty democratic to me. And, but then she came back and she said, you know, she got these people to make this annual meeting like there was some illegal stuff going on. And there wasn't. I mean, the caucus throws that vote, whether they should or not, and then they're supposed to go back and say, no, do we stick with it or we don't? And they decided to stick with Randy. Done. Period. But that's what she's twisting and turning on, like I said, no issues. And I think she was a nice person and all that, but she wasn't the qualified candidate. You know, and to keep moving this forward, we're going to run into this all the time if, you know, and we have a good backstop with the caucus to prevent, you know, that. And I just think that's what people got to learn and understand.
Stu, Rick, and Joe, we're going to start wrapping up here. The intention of this show is I'm going to get it out, and it's going to be edited like crap because I want to get it out there before the debate or conversation, whatever you want to call it.
So it'll be edited as it usually is.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of out of my basement for a change. I think I'm getting sunburned, even though I'm, you know, under a roof here. But what I'd like to do is, can we all get together after the debate comes out, after we digest it and give our thoughts on it, whether it's Thursday or Friday, figure out a time and give our thoughts? What do you think?
Well, do you have any idea how soon the streaming or whatever that it'll be available on video?
Whenever they're done editing it.
I'm going to try to go.
All right, go. I need somebody there.
It's going on in the White House tonight otherwise, but I'm going to try and go to it. I don't know if that's going to cause problems for
people. Oh, you're part of the podcast now. That's why.
Hey, I've had people come up to me now, like when I'm shopping and stuff, like, didn't I see you on
the podcast?
Like, oh my God, what did I get myself into here?
Yeah.
Rick, well, then, you and I are going to be like, yeah, we won't be able to go into any establishments around here soon.
No, I think Duffer's Pub, I hope, will still be open.
It will.
Lantern.
Chiefs, yeah.
You got to mention them all.
Right. We are currently blessed by having a lot of good local pubs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chiefs, Lantern, Duffers.
And even Deer Path that they bring back.
Deer Path, yeah. Like I said, you can find Comptroller Munger there on Friday nights.
The big-ass steak sandwich is the best steak sandwich ever had.
I'm just saying, bring it back, Deer Path. Come on, call out the Lake Forest.
They have the big-ass sliders, I think it's called. That
Nothing like the big-ass steak sandwich.
Really?
That's like Ritz crackers.
Pete couldn't even eat the full big-ass steak sandwich. It's a half.
Yeah, with the cost of meat these days, it would be like $50. But
hey, don't look at me. I'm a lawyer. I go over to Sophia's Steak, and you know. Well,
that's a nice place. Every place in this town is great. So,
I got to mention them too.
Whether or not they're boycotted by Senator Garrett or not, so every place is great.
Hero Bistro, if you want to have some.
Oh, they have great sushi. Yeah.
And then Garrett.
I'll start doing some shows with restaurant reviews. It'll be like, check, please.
And the best sneakers at Left Bank.
And for the best hot dog in town, go to Left Bank.
The bank, yeah, exactly.
Bank, yeah.
Hey, everybody.
And when you got wrinkled clothes, go to Oakwood Cleaners.
That's right.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming on the Lake Forest Podcast. I will wrap this thing up. Let's see what it comes out. I'll put it out there. I'm sure there'll be some incorrections, but it'll be out nonetheless. Randy Pack, good luck. Paul Ham and Eggs, good luck tonight. And then, you know,
good luck to Prue. Good luck to Prue.
Good luck to Prue.
Answering those questions.
Good luck to all the candidates.
Yeah, yeah. Susan Garrett, good luck to you. And I'm waiting for your apology.
Senator Garrett, $150,000 from Mike Madigan.
The honorable, honorable, honorable. All right, Chad, great job. Hey, Rick, anything you uncomfortable with?
No.
Here, let me hold on.
The Lake Forest Podcast is supported by viewers, listeners, and businesses just like you.
Looking for the best pool supplies? Look no further than Doheny's. With a history dating back to 1967, this family-owned business offers everything families need to keep their pools clean and sparkling, from chemicals to equipment. Plus, customers enjoy free shipping on all orders. Visit Doheny's Pool Supplies today at doheny.com, D-O-H-E-N-Y.com, to learn more.
Forest Bluff Real Estate Group serves Illinois, Wisconsin, Lake Forest, and Lake Bluff. John Josephitis, Laura Lee Van Fleet, and Michelle Parnell get a free market analysis now at forestbluffrealestate.com. For the best cannabis in the world, look no further than Iliad Epic Grow. They're a cannabis cultivation center owned by Lake Bluff's own Rich Ruzich. They focus on hard-to-find small batch products that will delight both the occasional user and ganjier. When visiting Michigan, ask for it by name. Epic Products, exceptional process. Iliad Epic Grow. For more information, email info at iliadgrow.com. Havy Communications has been helping first responders arrive safely since 1983. It's owned by Lake Forest's own Mike Havy. Check them out at havycommunications.com.
Paul Hammond, candidate for Lake Forest Mayor, April 4th, 2023. He's a lifetime resident of Lake Forest, licensed professional engineer in Illinois, registered energy professional in Chicago, Purdue Electrical Engineering graduate, BSEE 1979, commodity trader for over 40 years. He's running on the issues of stopping the plastic grass in Lake Forest parks, because every 10 years the plastic field needs to be replaced because of deterioration and wear. Email paul.hammond.pe@gmail.com.
We'd also like to say that we're thankful for patron supporters, Reverend Louis Beck from the Church of the Holy Spirit,
Matt A., Elizabeth C., Costa, Lance, Otto, RDM, John C., Dan Rogers, and Mike Adelman.
Shout out to the Lake Forest Breakfast Group, Rod Stop in Kenosha, Captain Mike's Kenosha, Greentown Tavern in Waukegan, and the Frolic Lounge in Waukegan.